So last but certainly not least is Sandra Arevalo, and she is a doctoral candidate in sociology from Northeastern University in Boston, and she also holds a BA in psychology from the University of Massachusetts. Her specializations include urban sociology, medical sociology, health disparities, and urban health, and she has publications in peer-reviewed journals, as well as 3 book report chapters in the areas of health disparities, substance abuse treatment, health of incarcerated men, as well as sexual health. She will be speaking today on the interplay between social context and structural conditions and self-esteem.
So first I just want to give an introduction on self-esteem and what is it. So self-esteem is a global positive or negative attitude toward the self that involves individual processes of self-perception and self-valuation. One important component of self-esteem is the individual self-concept. And the self-concept is a comprehensive structure composed of dispositions such as intelligence, kindness, morality, optimism, and social identity elements such as race, ethnicity, gender, sexual orientation, age, social class. The interrelationship of these 2 factors compose the self-concept. And also the self-concept depends on the cognitive organization of every individual, how every person organizes and gives importance or relevance to the dispositions, identity, and the interrelationships. So early works on self-esteem focus on the influence of individual social networks, particularly the influence of significant others on the formation of the individual self-esteem. However, this focus neglects the role of autonomous evaluations that happen outside interpersonal context, ignores the influence of larger social contexts and social structures that facilitate and or inhibit autonomous action, which is the basis for self-esteem development. Human beings develop a sense of self from observing the outcome of their actions, whether they are successful or not, or efficacious or not. Social context and socio-structural conditions provide the means or not for achieving efficacious outcomes. Efficacy-based self-esteem, therefore, is the link between the development of individual self-esteem and the macro structures where this individual is part of. For an individual to develop a sense of self-esteem, they have to accomplish efficacious actions, which depends on not only the ability of each person to perform efficacious actions, but also to access to resources to be able to develop and perform these efficacious actions. And that's where social structural conditions such as hierarchical social systems that determine the distribution of material resources and society's ideologies or beliefs facilitate or impede access to these resources. So in sum, there is a dynamic interplay between social structural conditions, social context, and self-esteem development in individuals. Self-evaluations and feelings about oneself are broadly embedded and sustained by the microsocial context that surrounds the individual. Yet, empirical studies examining the influence of larger social contexts on self-esteem are very limited. So this study will examine those gaps, and specifically first I will examine empirically the association between social ideologies, specifically stereotypes held by the majority groups, by whites, toward minority groups, how white stereotypes toward minority groups affect their self-esteem. Second, previous works on self-esteem have examined the effects of individual social contexts, such as the family, the peers, or school, but there is not much work on the larger social structural context that surround the individual, such as the neighborhoods where they live and the rates of residential segregation where they live. So this study will examine those associations between residential segregation and the neighborhoods where people live under the development of self-esteem. And finally, the silence and particular ways in which social contexts and social structures may affect self-esteem for different racial ethnic groups has not been explored. There are few studies addressing self-esteem among a variety of racial groups. So this study will address this gap by examining exactly how social ideologies, residential segregation, and neighborhood of residence influence the self-esteem of three racial groups: Blacks, Latinos, and Asians. So the macro structures that I'm interested are residential segregation again, neighborhoods, and racial ethnic stereotypes held by groups in power or the majority groups toward minority groups. And just a brief introduction to residential segregation and how it may affect self-esteem. It may affect self-esteem by limited access to resources, and we know access to resources are basic for the self-efficacy, self-esteem development. Also, residential segregation may generate barriers that do not permit individuals to fully develop their capacities. And we know that residential segregation disproportionately and adversely affects minority groups by concentrating poverty and affecting the quality of neighborhood, social, and physical environments by limiting individual socioeconomic attainment and upward mobility. And overall, it places minority groups at a disadvantaged position compared to white groups. Neighborhoods, in turn, affect it's an influential context in human development, including psychological well-being and self-esteem. They are critical in determining access to social and material resources and the reproduction of social disadvantage. All these factors which are important in the development of self-esteem. Social ideologies and cultural values, they serve to legitimate the creation and maintenance of social inequities based on various social categories, such as race, ethnicity. Specifically, racial ethnic stereotypes, these are verbal expressions of a conviction shared in a particular culture and of common knowledge that in an overgeneralized manner ascribes or denies specific qualities or behaviors to certain groups or individuals of that group. They also serve as a guide for information processing. Individual self-esteem can be negatively affected by internalized negative representations formed through social interactions and the responses of others in the near social context, by perception of more negative attitudes at the community level, and by perceived negative self-group representations shared and broadly known at the society level. So not only through interpersonal relations, but through these negative stereotypes at community and larger societal levels. So these inequitable conditions created by social structures, such as residential segregation and social ideologies that limit access to recourses to certain groups, influence self-esteem by diminishing the capacity for human agency. So the constant failure to achieve efficacious actions may generate a sense of helplessness in which the individual feels that lack autonomy, feels no control of the environment and or the outcome of his actions, and may feel that he or she is truly incompetent. We know that negative stereotypes in the United States have been reducing, but they are still prevalent, and a good proportion of white Americans continue to associate certain minority groups with negative stereotypes. For example, blacks are characterized as lazy, violence-prone, or welfare-dependent. Latinos or Hispanic are characterized with being unintelligent, unpatriotic, and poor. These kind of negative stereotypes, they may impede social mobility among ethnic minority groups by reinforcing the effects of past events of discrimination. We know that there are instances of discrimination like redlining, housing covenants in the past that have created certain economic situations and residential segregations that affect the status of minority groups. They were created in the past, but negative stereotypes in the present keep reinforcing those conditions. And through the lens of negative stereotypes, structural disadvantages such as poverty, joblessness, and crime come to be seen as causes rather than consequences of persistent racial inequality. So let me go quickly because we'll go to the research questions one by one later, so I can skip this. This is a big overall view of the theoretical framework that I created for this paper. So we have at the this is my health outcome. In this case, I'm going to see self-esteem. And in my theoretical framework, I have three levels of factors that affect the health of individuals. We have at the microsocial level, we have cultural and society norms and values, and in this case, I'm examining stereotypes, and also I have residential segregation. Then at this meso or community level, I have neighborhood conditions, and then at the individual level, I have other factors that may affect health. So each of these factors, in combination, affect the self of the self-esteem of individuals. Data for my study came from two sources at three levels. The individual level data came from the multi-city study on urban inequality in Chorbaksui that was completed in 1992. A long time ago, but still the data is very relevant, and there are many variables there that are really different, difficult to find in other studies. And the contextual data for comes from the 1990 U.S. Census and includes census blocks, groups or tracts, and county and subdivision information. So my outcomes and predictors, again, my outcome is self-esteem, and I'm using the Rosenberg self-esteem scale, four items of that scale, higher levels of self-esteem, it's indicated by higher values, and it goes from 4 to 16, the range. My independent variables, racial and ethnic stereotypes, and for this I'm using a scale used widely at the national level for items from that scale, and it goes from minus 3 to 3, and negative values indicate a negative stereotype, 0 is neutral, and positive values indicate positive stereotypes. For residential segregation, I'm measuring that with the index of isolation, the index of dissimilarity, and a multi-group index of segregation, the Steele index or the multi-group entropy, which is very similar to the dissimilarity index, but it takes into account all five groups in an area, where with this one it takes into account the disproportion between just two groups, let's say blacks or whites or Latinos or whites. Here, all groups in a residential area are taken into account. So my neighborhood variables, I extracted those from the census. And a common technique to create neighborhood variables is to use factor analysis, which is a data reduction technique. I took about 30 variables from the census, and I applied factor analysis. And with this analysis, I created three indices of neighborhood conditions. The neighborhood affluence index, the deprivation index, stability index, and two individual items from the census I'm using, which is the neighborhood proportion of linguistically isolated households. And linguistically isolated households are those households in which all members 14 years old and over speak a non-English language and also speak English less than very well. I'm also using the proportion of foreigners in a neighborhood as a predictor. For the individual level variables, I'm using socioeconomic position, the perceived quality of one's neighborhood. This is a question for participants that ask them about the quality of the neighborhood, skin color, religious attendance, and acculturation. And I have, so I use multi-level modeling techniques, and they take into account the between and within group variance. They also estimate error terms at both the lower and higher levels. Therefore, data at all three levels, in my case, are more efficiently treated, and standard errors are more accurately estimated. So let me go to the results. So I only have 5 minutes. This is a brief description of my sample. About half of the studies were blacks, 37% of were Latinos, 16% Asians, mean age 37, more than half were female. And there were important differences among the three groups. Here we say we see there were blacks were residing in neighborhoods with higher residential segregation compared to Latinos and Asians. And in terms of negative stereotypes, Latinos, whites have more negative stereotypes toward Latinos in this sample. Also, you see it here, there are significant differences in the neighborhoods where these three groups live. Asians seem to be living in better neighborhoods with more stable and affluent ones, and Latinos were living in less affluent neighborhoods and in more linguistically isolated neighborhoods. So my first question, are whites' negative stereotypes associated to levels of self-esteem for blacks, Latinos, and Asians? And we see that this is true only for blacks. White negative stereotypes were positively, in this case, remember, stereotypes go from -3 to 3, so higher stereotypes are positive. So the less negative stereotypes whites held against blacks, the higher their self-esteem. And this is significant even after controlling for important confounders. This relationship was not seen between Latinos or Asians. Residential segregation. We see that for blacks, there is no effect of residential segregation on their self-esteem. Only for Asians, actually, was significant after controlling for confounders. So higher levels of isolation among Asians were related negatively to their self-esteem. Neighborhood characteristics and self-esteem. Again, we see very interesting differences among the three groups. For blacks, almost all indices of neighborhood were related to self-esteem, affluence and stability with higher self-esteem, proportion of foreign people and linguistically isolated neighborhood with negative or lower self-esteem among blacks. For Latinos, only one index of neighborhood was significantly associated. That was the stability. Higher stability in the neighborhoods, higher self-esteem. For Asians, interestingly, Latino linguistic isolation, Asians living in areas where there are more Latinos speaking only Spanish have higher self-esteem. On the other side, Asians living in neighborhoods where there are more Asians speaking only Asian, they had lower self-esteem. That was an interesting finding. And here we have, so I have a level 3 white stereotypes. This is my model for blacks. And I'm trying to see if the neighborhood conditions mediate this relationship. So we have the significant association between white self-esteem and white stereotypes and black self-esteem. And only two neighborhood variables significantly reduce the effect of negative stereotypes on self-esteem. Those are the proportion of foreign population in the neighborhood and the proportion of Latin linguistic isolation. We see that the significance of negative stereotypes are completely mediated by these two neighborhood indices. For Latinos, there is no neighborhood factor that mediate the level 3 influence. We saw that for Latinos, the level 3, the variables important for them were isolation levels of residential segregation and the CIL index. They are still significantly associated with self-esteem, and neighborhood conditions did not mediate that. And for Asians, the level of residential segregation was still significantly associated to their self-esteem after controlling for the neighborhood factors. At the individual level, again, interesting associations. Skin tone was significantly associated to self-esteem only for Latinos and Asians. Church attendance also only for Latinos and Asians, and language of acculturation and perceived quality of one's neighborhood was significantly associated for all three groups. I think that we can skip this. So the final regression model. This is the final regression model for blacks, which includes all the variables at the level 3, level 2, and level 1. And we see that after including all the variables, only percent Latino linguistic isolation and language of acculturation and perceived neighborhood quality was significantly associated with the self-esteem for blacks. These variables seem to mediate the significant association between negative stereotypes and self-esteem. So the effect of whites held in negative stereotypes toward blacks were mediating on whether blacks lived in neighborhoods with high percent of Latino linguistic isolation, language of acculturation, and perceived quality of their neighborhood. For Latinos, the levels of residential segregation were significantly associated to self-esteem even after controlling for neighborhood and individual factors. And this is interesting because the sign of the isolation doesn't go in the expected ways. So in more isolated neighborhoods, Latinos actually have higher levels of self-esteem. This is a protective factor. This is in opposition of other findings on health outcomes that we see levels of isolation negatively associated with health outcomes. In terms of self-esteem for Latinos, it has a protective effect. And this, there is a trend on this same association for Asians. Although it's not significantly associated, the association is not significant, there is a trend of isolation and self-esteem. So as a protective factor. Neighborhood deprivation, higher, this is also counterintuitive. Higher levels of neighborhood deprivation was associated with higher levels of self-esteem for Asians. I will present the variance explained if somebody is interested and can go over this after the presentation. I think I only have 1 minute, so I'll skip this. In short, there were significant at the neighborhood level, 10% of the variance in self-esteem among blacks was explained by the neighborhoods they live in, 10%, and 1% by the county factors. For Latinos, the variance explained in self-esteem by neighborhood factors was lower, only 4%. And for Asian was the highest one, almost 12%. So in conclusion, understanding how social structural conditions influence self-esteem, we see it requires a multi-level methods. Also the inclusion of various racial ethnic groups to understand and contrast the unique ways in which these structures operate at the individual level. We saw how the three groups had specific variables at the neighborhood and level three that were affecting them differently. So understanding how these variables work are important for more targeted interventions. And given the evidence linking self-esteem and mental health and health behaviors, which have shown that positive thinking about oneself can moderate the effects of lifetime stressors because they offer the individual efficacious and alternative manners to cope with stressors. Therefore, comprehending how social structural conditions are associated with individual self-esteem may provide information to guide social policies aimed at reducing health disparities and improving quality of people's lives, particularly for minority groups. And that's it. Thank you.